Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
1 Peter chapter 1. You guys excited to hear the word today? Oh my gosh. Don't make me get after you. Come on, are you excited to hear the word today? All right. About your expectation, right? You get what you expect. If you expect it to be lame, it will be. Please don't expect it to be lame. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I have some fear even sharing this, just preaching this message today. And there's a reason, because I think this type of message has been misunderstood a lot and has been used out of fear, actually, to control people. And I just don't want that to happen today, so we're going to all have to be on the same page. And you got to hear what I really mean. And I want us to really understand what the Bible says about this topic. It's so important to our Christian living together. And the topic is about holiness. That God has truly called us to be holy as He is holy, called us to live a life of holiness. But you know, that has been used so many times as a way to control people, and it really has been used in the fact of legalism. And I have a lot of fear that we would not listen to the message of holiness because we know we're called to live by God's grace. There's so much liberty in God's grace, and we have been totally set free from all of the sin, the punishment of sin, through the sacrifice that Christ has made for us on the cross. But in that same breath, the grace of God and the mercies of God and the sacrifice of God gave us the ability, so we do not have to any longer live bound to that sin, but we can live a life to holiness, to righteousness. And it's so important that we don't, well, as a lot of people say, follow this, you know, slippery slope of greasy grace, you know? And we don't read into what grace is not saying and what grace is not doing in us. Grace is not empowering us to live a life of sin. Grace empowers us to live a life in right standing with God. Positionally, we're given that right standing with God through His blood and His sacrifice. But through the power and the inner working of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to live righteous. And I believe God has ordained us and called us, and He actually expects us to live according to that standard. It's literally a response to the great work that God has done in us and for us. So we've been talking a lot over the last few weeks. Pastor Brad preached a phenomenal message about our Christian life together. Why do church together? Wasn't it a good message? And then I talked last week about the picture of the Andes and the water dripping off of the Andes and coming down thousands and thousands, in fact, billions and probably trillions of water droplets coming down off the Andes to form the greatest river in the world, the Amazon, and how much water and power that flowed. And it was all about one stream. One little drop by itself on the Andes is minuscule, but all of them flowing together creates a powerful river that pushes out over 200 miles into the Atlantic Ocean. You can't get salt water for 200 miles. Like, that's the picture of the church. That God's called us to that communal living where we bind together in love and in faith and in hope. As the church of God, the greatest power on earth is the church of God. God's local church, us living here locally together, binding our love and commitment to one another like that great powerful river. God has called us to be culture changers. But church, it is virtually impossible for us to live with one another if we don't live holy. Do you hear me? It's really hard for us to bind together if we don't have a passion for living according to the authority of the Word of God. That we say, God, this Bible, what You gave us, this is the absolute truth, and we have to live according to it. So when we read these parts where it says we need to live holy and what holy life looks like, we don't read over that and just go, well, I'm all good. I don't really need that part because I don't have to pay for it. I don't need to read that because I don't have to pay for it. Because Jesus paid for it. So I don't really have to live that way. It doesn't matter anymore. See, that's so dangerous when we get stuck there. If we get stuck disbelieving, we don't have to because we don't have to pay for it. You know, when you drive your parents' car when you're a kid, right? You don't really care that much about it because you didn't pay for it. No matter how nice it is, unless your parents are really, really scary, and that if you wrecked their car, it would be pain of death, right? We don't really care when we don't have to pay. We're not as thankful when we don't have to pay, unless we get the whole picture and we realize, like what Jesus did for us, that without his payment, we would have to pay. See, when we understand the magnitude of what Christ has really done for us in and through his sacrifice, of how much he had paid for us, that if we didn't have that payment, we would be destined for hell. To pay the price for the sins that we committed. So when we can really grasp that, then that creates this tension, this healthy tension for us to go, God, I'm so thankful that I no longer have to pay for that. That I can now live. I can live in righteousness. And because of that gift you gave me, I am going to be thankful for it. So thankful that out of my response will be obedience. Because I am so grateful and so thankful. Not because I have to, but now because instead of a legalistic, I have to do it, I desire to do it. And out of that desire, God is so, so good that, you know, it's not like when we're kids and our parents are telling us to do something and we don't understand. Like my poor daughter, I crank on her all the time about cleaning her room. Oh, that poor thing. And she doesn't understand why I want her to clean her room. And honestly, maybe it doesn't even totally make sense. But I want her to do it. And so, it's going to get done. But it doesn't fully make total sense to her. And honestly, it doesn't fully make total sense to me. But I still want it done. Right? I'm just being honest. See, there are things that sometimes as parents, and we get used to interacting with our own moms and dads and the way we grew up, we're told to do things that don't always make sense. And honestly, they don't always even benefit us, right? Sometimes they benefit the person that's asking us to do them. But when God asks us to live righteous, to live according to his will, and we desire to do it as well, it does benefit us. That's how good he is. That when we live according to his command and his desire for us to live holy as he is holy, it does benefit us. We have great benefit. In fact, more benefit than you and I can even calculate here on earth, because in heaven, God says that even the littlest thing we do in his name will not be forgotten. Even a cold cup of water given in the name of Christ, well, the reward will not be forgotten in heaven. God keeps an account and a record of every single thing. You do reap what you sow. God will not be mocked. You do reap what you sow, good and bad. Here on earth, good and bad. And when God says, live holy as I am holy, which we're going to get into the passages here, I'm getting just flying out there. When you and I decide, so thankful I don't have to live in my sin. I'm thankful you paid for it, God. Jesus, thank you for that sacrifice. And Holy Spirit, thank you for the indwelling of your presence. and the grace so that I can live righteous and holy, and I desire to, and I know it's for my benefit. It's worth it because it's going to reap a good reward here on earth and in heaven. It's worth it, church. It's worth it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, we pray for a fresh revelation of your word. God, that your Holy Spirit would just renew our minds. You would strengthen our minds, strengthen our hearts, strengthen our resolve to live holy for you, to live righteous for you, to live in community with one another. God, that we would look into ourselves and own our own junk. And God, we allow you to challenge us and renew us and strengthen us by your Holy Spirit and bring us into righteous living, holy living, by your Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I felt the Lord just lead me to this passage in quite a few passages throughout Peter. We could go all over the whole New Testament. It is littered with scriptures about living holy. It is everywhere. There's too many passages for us to cover in one Sunday. So I'm going to focus, all right? I know some of you might think that will be a miracle, but God is alive. God is alive. All right, 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, right? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Look, God has saved us for obedience. He has saved us for obedience. The Spirit of God makes us holy so we can walk in obedience in response to that holiness. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, this word kept is a military word that really means that like a garrison or a guard will be standing in front protecting whatever the item is. And you know, that's exactly what God is doing for your salvation. That he's like his power is a guard standing in front of your salvation, which is won by faith. And Romans 8:35-39 says what? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Right? Absolutely nothing can separate you from that love. You're bound to it. And his power keeps you. The power of his love keeps you. That's awesome. Listen, I've had lots of people come talk to me before about if they think their sin is, they're going to go to hell for their sin. Without Jesus, yes. But with Jesus, no. With Jesus, no. He has kept you. He has guarded you, protected you from that sin. That's an awesome, awesome thing to know. And as we move forward in this passage, we realize he has commanded us to live righteous and to live holy by his Holy Spirit. In this you greatly rejoice, right? In the fact that he has saved us and he's kept us and it's a permanent deal, right? Before him, by his power, man, we greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if indeed be, you have been grieved by various trials. Even though we're in the middle of a lot of junk, right? We're still thankful we're going to go to heaven and nothing can separate us, right, from the love of God. That in the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. For this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching
what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You know, this word is a word about to gird up, is about preparation. You know, before people go into sports or into battle, which sports, you guys know I'm a sports freak, is like modern day warfare for us, right? Without the consequences, right? But in battle, in war, any kind of war, you have got to prepare your mind for that battle. And I was doing some study about the Revolutionary War and the time when General Washington was taking over the army, and how early Americans, they were mostly peasants, how they thought about war. They did not have the mindset to succeed. They did not have the mindset that they were even going to win. They were fighting the greatest military power of all time. And they were looking at that giant war machine thinking, there is no way we can win. But as they started to get training, and they started to get hope, as Washington started to bring that together, there was a French colonel or general or somebody that came in to really train the army, and he's famous for doing the primary focus of all the training. The mindset of all of the American soldiers started to shift, and they started to believe that they could win. And it said that mindset is the most powerful weapon in warfare, is the mindset. And so much about warfare is all about breaking people down psychologically, getting them to think they cannot win. The reason we beat the British was because we believed we could. It was because America believed they could win. And once that spread and everybody thought, we can do this, all we have to do is hold out. And eventually, they're going to run out of money and resources and we'll win. And that's pretty much how we won the Revolutionary War. So, I want you to think about this as you think about your life in holiness. As you think about your life in righteousness. The battle is in your mind. And it's not just warring against, oh God, I tear down all those strongholds that are coming up against me in those high places in my mind. It's not like that. I'm not saying you don't do that, but I'm saying we've got to sit down every day and gird up the loins of our mind and say, God, I want to live holy for you today as a response for the thing that you did in my life. Listen, if you don't get your mind straight, if I don't get my mind straight every day, that I desire to live holy and I ask for the Holy Spirit to give me the grace to do that. It's like going into battle and you don't have your head screwed on. And when people would go into battle and they didn't have the mindset for warfare, they freak out. And they do all kinds of crazy things. They freeze up. They can't move. Many people in the time of D-Day, when they came in at Normandy, They come off of those landing dealios, and they said tons of reports of guys who would just freeze and then just get shot and die. Like 100,000 men lost their lives that day or something crazy. And so many of them just froze up. Their mindset for warfare was not set up. And it doesn't mean you're not going to get hit. Doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. But we've got to get our mindset set up. Listen, if our mindset is we can live carnally and do whatever, you are going to get taken down. Especially in this culture. Especially in this culture. We live in a very perverse culture. The information is everywhere. Extremely difficult to live in purity in this culture. But absolutely possible through the grace of God. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not possible. Many of those wars, when they went to storm the beaches at Normandy, it didn't even look possible. In fact, what they did was virtually impossible. They had a whole bunch of tanks that all got sunk. They were supposed to have tanks that landed, so there's zero cover for all the people when they come on the beach. And they just got slaughtered. But somehow they still took that beach. Listen, you can take that in your mind. You can win this battle. But if you don't see it as a fight, if you don't see it as something you've got to be geared up for through the grace of God, not through your own strength, but through the grace of God, and you demand, you call to make a demand on the Holy Spirit to live righteous and holy. I'm going to make a demand on the Holy Spirit to live according to what He called me to do. And you and I got to look at it. We got to get our mind straight. When your mind is straight that I'm going to succeed at this and I'm going to do it by the grace of God, I understand where my power and my source comes from. It's not through my own willpower, right? And I know that I'm doing this out of response to the great thing that God has done for me. It's my reasonable response in obedience to what He did for me. And I have a passion and desire to do it, and I know it will benefit me. You get your mind straight. Gird up the loins of your mind. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Guys, this is New Covenant teaching right now. This is not the Old Testament, Old Covenant, old anything. This is New Covenant, new life. You are not who you used to be. You now are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's good news. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. You know that you and I, we're going to stand before God. It's going to happen. We're going to do it. For the good things we've done and the bad things. Praise God for the bad things. God does forgive us for those. We know we positionally stand there. But you know what? There's a pretty clear picture. We're going to stand before God, and we're probably going to see the list of stuff and go, thank God He forgave it. But I think that's going to be a pretty scary time. You know, there is a reckoning and an account that is given in heaven. And that is a frightening time for me. I want to take the responsibilities God has given me and live them out in righteousness and with right standing before God. I want to do the best, be the best steward of what He's entrusted to me that I can. Amen? Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct, receiving by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus came and died, lived perfect for you. Who through him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted of the Lord, tasted that the Lord is gracious. Look, God desires for each one of us to not only consume the Word of God so that we understand the truth of God, so we can live according to its truth. Right? He desires for us, as we absorb that, This passage is talking about us living together, truly learning how to love one another. That our holiness, our right living, should lead us to loving. And honestly, we should desire holiness, because when we desire to live holy, then we are actually choosing to love other people around us. Because holiness, think about the things that are caught up in holiness. Self-control, kindness, gentleness, a selfless, self-sacrificing love. I consider other people's interests greater than my own. This is holiness. When we get selfish and we want to take things for ourselves, and all of the sins that we look at that the Bible defines as sin, is really centered around selfish living, self-feeding living. We're wanting to feed ourselves rather than serve others and love others. So the desire for holiness and right relationship with God, which God gives us right relationship with Him, but righteousness with one another is a totally different story. God desires us to be righteous with God, which He paid for, right? He gave us the Holy Spirit. So now we can actually have righteousness with one another too. And therefore, exemplify the love of God to one another. We are the hands and feet of Christ. And if we don't show God's love through our life, people are not experiencing the love of God naturally here on earth. It's necessary that in our flesh, we love people. God ordained us as the church to proclaim His love and to spread His love through our lives. And if we don't desire to live holy, we won't desire to live righteous with one another, in right standing with one another. We have to desire that and gird up our mind to desire to be in right standing with each other. So when we offend each other, we make it right. We care about offending each other, right? I care that if I live ungodly and when I make mistakes, which happens, when I do that, it hurts you. I care about that. Look, we have to believe the Bible's true. We have to believe it's an authority, the absolute authority in our life. And that we have to desire to live according to it, because that's God's desire for us. And that we can, we have to know and believe, we can by His Spirit do that. And when we do that, we know I'm really loving people when I'm living holy. I'm loving my family when I decide I'm going to live holy. I'm loving my church. I'm loving the people in my church when I decide I'm going to live holy. I do it because God saved me, because He paid for it. It's a great cost that I could never pay, and I don't have to. I do it because He empowered me through the Holy Spirit so that I can. And I do it because it benefits me and it benefits everyone around me. It's worth it. Church, the thing I don't want is that we get around this church being the holiness police. Right? Well, you're just not living holy. You need to straighten up. And I know what the Bible says, and you need to just straighten it up. Look, you be your own holiness police. You let the Holy Spirit inside you be the holiness police. You know when you're coloring outside the lines. Come on. You ain't stupid. Man, the Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of you. The Word of God is now written on your heart. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, fully empowered with all of what God has for you. Aim high. Aim high. God wants you to expect high. Expect a lot out of your life. Expect that you can live holy. If you don't think you can live holy, you never will. If you think, well, I just live and caught up in a terrible, sinful world, and I'm always going to be the same way I'm always going to be. Right? Then you stop expecting and pretend like you can't live holy. Or then we change our current reality to pretend like we're not actually sinning, or we're not actually, coloring outside the lines. Sometimes we even want to twist what the Bible says about holiness so that we can make excuses for the way that we live. Right? Neither of these things are right to do. We will not live a full life that God intended for us if we lower the bar, lower our expectations of what's possible in God, or we change the standard of what God said is absolutely right living. So we change our current reality so we all feel good about it. Right? This is what the world does. This is the world standard. And you know what? It creeps into the church too. We like to do it too. Because then we go, well, no, it's totally fine if I, you know, list it off. I don't even want to start listing all the stuff. You guys read your Bibles. You need to read your Bibles and know what the Bible says about holy and righteous living. Read Colossians. Read Ephesians. Read Philippians. Right? Come on. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. You need to know what the Bible says about right living. Don't change the standard so you feel better about it. You change. Through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit in you, you can do it. You can do it. Will you stand with me? First Peter chapter 4. Well, I'm going to read this. I read it earlier. It's in chapter 2. It says, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." God chose you. You're a chosen people. You are a holy nation to God because He has saved you and you have Christ. His own special people. You are His own special people. You're not average. "That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Look, He saved you from something. He rescued you from the darkness in your life so that you can proclaim Him and glorify Him through the way you live, not just your words. Our words without action, James says, are dead. Right? To the Hebrews, they're one thing. They're not two things. Faith is one thing. It's belief and it's action. It's what I say and it's what I do. He's called you to this kind of life, into the marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You have obtained mercy. Chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude He had to be ready to suffer also." You've got to gird your mind up. It's going to be hard. Life is hard. Life is no bed of roses and a bunch of, you know, animal silver dollar pancakes. Let's make me happy. It's not all easy. Life is hard. It was hard for Jesus, and it's going to be hard for us. But we have to have that same attitude, ready to suffer. For if you're willing to suffer for Christ, you have decided to stop sinning. If you're willing to suffer for Christ, it says right here, you have decided to stop sinning. Stop coloring outside the lines. Desire to be holy for a great purpose. And you won't spend the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. Man, if there's one thing to be anxious for, it's to do the will of God. God made you a royal priesthood, a holy nation, for something great, not for the average. Aim high. You're worth it. You're worth it to God. That's why He died for you. You're worth it to the dying people around you. You're worth living. If you don't know Jesus today, you're like, man, I want to know Jesus. I want to be a part of His chosen people. I want to live for something that's worth it. I know in my heart I was made for something more than what I've been living for. I'm tired of chasing my evil desires. I want to live for God. Listen, the Bible says that if you confess His name, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. He will turn no one away. He died for all. There is no sin that you have committed that God has not died for and paid for, and He absolutely will wipe away. There's no trouble and problem you have in your life today that God, through the Holy Spirit, cannot help you through. So if that's you today, and you're like, I want to give my heart to Jesus, it's time. It's time for me to give my heart to Christ. But I want to encourage you to pray with me. And church, I'm going to ask everybody here together, if you bow your heads. And then I'm going to ask everybody to pray with me in the whole church. And look, if this is you and you want to give your heart to the Lord, I just encourage you to pray from your heart right now, and you'll be saved. Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I choose you today as my Lord and my Savior. I make you God of my heart and my life. Forgive me for my sin. Change my heart. Renew my mind. Renew my life. Holy Spirit, fill me today. Fill me with all the gifts that you have for me so I can live holy before you. Amen. Amen. If that was you, if you gave your heart to the Lord, I'm not going to ask you to come down here, but I just ask that maybe you'd slip your hand up. Would you slip your hand up? Did you give your heart to Jesus today? First time. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Two people. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. I am going to invite you, if you would, just meet with some of our care leaders after the church service. They'll be down here to meet with you. And care leaders, if you know that's you, I'd like to ask you to come down and be able to just introduce these people to our family and help them as their journey begins with Jesus. So I want to pray over you, church. I want to pray a blessing over you. And if you want, you can lift your hands. You don't have to, but if you want to, I'm just going to pray over you as we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I speak favor and blessing by the power of your Holy Spirit over your people. God, we expect great things from you today. God, we expect great things from your kingdom today. God, from your Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of us. We declare holiness over our lives. God, get our minds right today. I speak a right mind by the power of the Holy Spirit in and over your people today. Pour out your grace, God, so we can live holy. God, so we won't be an embarrassment to the people around us. God, we won't embarrass you by the way we live. But God, that we will declare that you are alive. You are on your throne today because we can live holy and righteous by your Spirit in us, through us. God, we declare this over our church today. God, we receive all of the favor from you today. We thank you that you're a shield about us. God, we just expect that you're going to expand our territory today in Jesus' name. God, you're going to give us increase today in the name of Jesus. God, we're believing you for great increase in our relationships, in breakthrough in our own personal lives. God, in our families, with our children. God, we're believing you for increase. God, we're believing you financially for increase. That our businesses will prosper. The entrepreneurs in this church will prosper in the name of Jesus. God, those that are desiring to move into politics, God, that they will prosper in the name of Jesus. In the medical field, in education, God, they will prosper and increase in this city in the name of Jesus. God, we expect great things. God, we're believing you for salvations this week. God, as we go out into the world, we go out into our jobs, we're believing you for souls to be won, for people to be loved this week. God, we're believing you for healings. God, I pray you would enlighten our eyes to see people that are ready to be healed, that your Holy Spirit is ready to heal. And I pray we'd have the faith to pray and the courage to pray for them. God, we love you. We love you. We love you. Stir up our faith today. Stir up our faith today, Lord Jesus. Stir us up. And all God's people said, amen.